Shall we turn to Philippians Epistle, chapter 1, please? Reading from verse 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, or the overseers and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds or in my chains, and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are sharers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have turned out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And most of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ with envy, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the other of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defence of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretence or in truth, Christ is preached, and I will therein do rejoice, yea, and I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour. Yet what I shall choose I know not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in no way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof token of destruction, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. And God will add a blessing to the reading of his precious word. The setting of this epistle is like a gem between the Ephesian and the Colossian epistles, revealing the fellowship of believers. First of all with Christ, and then with one another. And although an ambassador in chains or in bonds, the apostle, he lets us into the secret of joyful Christian experience. Ephesians, we know, and we have the thought of being in Christ, the body, our walk and warfare, emphasizes that members of the body of Christ should be marked by a worthy walk and be prepared to engage in conflict with spiritual wickedness by donning the whole armour of God. And our feet leave their imprint upon the sands of time. Philippines, it's fellowship. Fellowship, the heart. Our witness and worship expresses the believer's longings, desires and aspirations to let Christ be all and in all in his experience, both manward and Godward. Preach the word, practice the truth, and praise the Lord. Pray in faith. The apostle could say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And in Colossians, it's Christ in you, Christ in you, the head, our wealth and wisdom. He enriches the believer, for in him all fullness dwells. He is the source of supply to meet our every need. He can enable us to walk as he wills, as we let his mind be fulfilled in us. He goes on to say, ye are complete in him. So in this chapter 1, confidence in the purpose of God. Confidence in the purpose of God. The apostle shows his confidence in the purpose of God despite the conditions in which he is found. Here the mind of Christ will give me a love for the gospel and cause me to rejoice when it is preached. You know, sometimes I wonder, in the days that we're living in, if we really have a love for the gospel. Because there are many places where the gospel, sad to say, even in our assemblies, the gospel has not been preached. And I think that's very sad. It's certainly not in relation to what the scriptures would teach us anyway. So that's worth just thinking about even this morning. And I'm always happy to know that the assembly that I belong to, that was still going on and we still have the opportunity and the gospel is still being preached. An outline of chapter 1. Christ is my life, and for him I'd live and tell the gospel story. Fellowship in the gospel, evangelically minded. Activity as servants to the Lord, heavenward, and to the world outside. Greetings in verses 1 to 4 in this chapter. Fellowship of the gospel in verses 5 to 11. And the furtherance of the gospel in verses 12 to 26. Faith of the gospel in verses 27 to 30. The opening salutation then is in chapters 1, is 1 to 4. Gracious greetings in verses 1 and 2. And Paul and Timothy, father and son, verse 22 of chapter 2, it says there, what ye know the proof of him, that as a son, speaking about Timothy, with the father, he hath served me with me in the gospel. So that's we have the father and son idea there coming out. Oh, a younger man in Christ and the apostle Paul working together. And that's lovely to see. Among the Lord's people and in assemblies. Mature experience and youthful energy. Blending together as servants, verse 1, also intimates the perfect servant and Paul and Timothy as bondmen of Jesus Christ. Paul, for the most part in his epistles, the title Christ Jesus is used because he had met him as a glorified man in heaven. The others who had walked with him, Peter, James, John and others on earth, spoke of the Saviour as Jesus Christ. Paul describes them saints in Christ Jesus, in the beginning of this epistle, literally holy ones. Christ Jesus denotes their position and security, and that Philippi, that's what it was, reminds us of their responsibility and testimony, just as we have our responsibility and testimony here in Acacia Ridge. As servants, their example is to be emulated and is the theme of chapter 1. To the saints, the exhortation to the saintly grace of humility is given in chapter 2. As to the overseers or bishops, the warning, and tears of chapter 3 portray these in verse 2 of chapter 3. I think it's verse 2 of chapter 3. And it says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." And also, we have the thought there of 15 to 18, the same thought comes out. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk of whom I have told you, who often and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ." And then the deacons. Epaphroditus, as a deacon, conveyed supplies to Paul in his need in chapter 4. We still need wholehearted, devoted servants today, humble saints and godly overseers, and faithful deacons in every assembly of the Lord's people. Thankful remembrance in verse 3 in this chapter that we read. "You Philippians," Philippi derives its name from Philip the father of Alexander the Great. It's situated in eastern Macedonia, and it was the first European city to be visited by Paul. In Acts 16 we have there these three notable conversions that did take place. First of all, a saleswoman. And then, of course, secondly, a soothsayer. And thirdly, a security officer. Prayerful requests mentioned in verse 4. He prayed not only for thanksgiving, but supplication. He makes mention of them all in his petition. How? He makes his requests with joy. Do we do that, beloved, this morning? Do we make our requests known and think and pray for one another? He made his requests with joy. The suppliant thanks while he asks and blesses as he petitions. There was no suspicion clouded his soul here. Fellowship generally meaning a partnership, a having in common. He prayed regularly. Always and every, regularly, always and every. So he was. Prayer was really a very important facet of the Apostle Paul's life. Personally, of mine, specifically for you all, and joyfully with joy. This is the first of 19 references to joy, rejoicing, and gladness which shines in this epistle. In chapter 1, verse 18, we have it there. "What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." That's chapter 1, verse 18. And he rejoices in his service. In chapter 2 and verse 16, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." So he rejoices in his sacrifice. In verse 1 of chapter 3, we'll just read that verse 2. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." It is safe. He rejoices in the Savior. In chapter 4 and verse 10, he rejoices in his supplies being met, and so on. So chapter 1, then, be evangelically minded. Christ my life, living for him. Fellowship in the gospel, verses 5 to 11. Consistency, verse 5. Also, in chapter 4 and verse 14, we have the thought there, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my afflictions, or that ye did share in my afflictions. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. So there we have fellowship in the gospel. And consistency, as mentioned. No lack of liberty. Not like what we have in the Galatians 5 and verse 7. The thought there comes out this morning as we think about these things. 5 and verse 7 in Galatians. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So that was what was shown in the Galatians, with the Galatians there. No loss of love like the Ephesians. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Loss of love. How are we this morning, beloved, as we think of these things this morning? Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden lamps, candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labour, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast laboured, and hast not become weary. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy lampstand out of his place unless thou repent. And so these are very testing words, searching words, when we read from the word of God even this morning in relation to these believers in a bygone day. And then confidence, going back to our confidence, is shown in verse 6, evidenced the power of God. God is a divine worker. God is a divine worker. Begun in you, that was begun in each one of us at our conversion, wasn't it? Begun in us. Evidenced in the lives of the saints and in their fellowship, the one with the other. Performed. Fellowship in the furtherance of the gospel. Perform or accomplish or perfect, if you like. The day of Christ, the day of his coming to the air for his own, will embrace the judgment seat of Christ and the Father's house. It will also involve the marriage of the Lamb. The day of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 5. I'll just read these verses that I've got in mind. To deliver such an one, Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In 2 Corinthians 1 and 14. Reads like this. And also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. And the day of the Lord Jesus Christ is 1 Corinthians 1 and 8. 1 Corinthians 1 and 8, we should have been back there. And we read those words there. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. The events that do relate to it are heavenly in character, and the Lord Jesus is viewed as the Son of God, emboldened, preaching Christ, all because of the apostles' position and situation in chains or in bonds. Expectant prayers answered in verse 25 of this chapter. The day of Christ, reliance in the Lord totally. Chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, and responsibility to the Lord, verse 10 of this chapter that we've read, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ. And verse 6, be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the events that do relate to it are heavenly in character, as mentioned. Emboldened, preaching Christ, expectant, prayers answered, day of Christ, reliance in the Lord totally, responsibility to the Lord, rejoicing before the Lord. June 16 of this we got there, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither laboured in vain. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 19 and 20, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Ye are our glory and joy. So there we have some verses there in relation to the day of Christ. Confirmation verses 7 to 11 resulted from the defense of the gospel. The confirmation may be seen in Acts chapter 15. These are verses that are appropriate and relative this morning. Acts chapter 15 and verse 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there for a time, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And also in Acts 16 and 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. What a great encouragement it was then for the apostles, and, you know, for Paul and Barnabas in those days. And it just keeps, you know, things haven't changed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And God is still with us. And we have the indwelling of power and unction and help of the Holy Spirit within. The gospel both overthrows its foes and strengthens its friends. Verse 8, we have words from the heart in verse 8. Words from the heart. The apostle by the Holy Spirit wrote only truth. He felt deeply and intensely for these believers. Verses 3 and 4, and now in verse 9, his prayer and its contents on their behalf, your love, not directed to any special individual. It was absolute, reflecting the inward state of the soul. It was knowledge to the heart instead of the head. And we each can thank God today that his knowledge is absolute and not in degrees. Paul prays that more knowledge and all judgment, that they will discerningly approve or have the perception and understanding, not in the intellectual sense, but in the area of moral sensitiveness. Verse 10, he continues and writes of things that are excellent or that differ, maybe sincere. In other words, absent of impure motives. It's a question of these saints' individual fitness in themselves, in view of the day of Christ. Verse 11 contrasts with verse 10, without alloy, without offence. Verse 11, being presently and continuously filled. It's the fruit of righteousness in the believer's life. Christ was in them. Being filled was the reality of his presence and operation in their lives. He is the righteous. He is the righteous, as 1 John, Epistle of John, chapter 2. We'll just read that short. 1 Epistle of John, chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And so, that we have an advocate with the Father, and it is his righteousness he produces in the lives of the saints, bringing praise and glory to God, defines his character and manifests his power. It is God's ultimate in the believer, Ephesians 1 and 6. better read it as well. Ephesians 1 and 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We're accepted in the beloved. So then this confirmation can only come by, it can only come by loving hearts and by mutual love, increasing in love, by wise heads, spiritual discernment, intelligent in discernment, irreproachable, clean hands, practical righteousness, irreproachable in character and conduct, sincere and without offence. And then in verses 12 to 26, the furtherance of the gospel, the apostle says, I wish you to know. He never kept anything back from them, but he himself furthered the gospel, a striking forward as a pioneer in verse 13. In the praetorium, he refers to the imperial guard. I'm sure it would have taken little time and evidence to all the contacts in prison that he was in chains, not as a criminal, but as a Christian. Verse 14, by this situation in Paul's life, the brethren have had their confidence in the Lord strengthened because of what Paul has done and where he was and how he conducted himself in this situation. Their confidence was increased dramatically. Verse 15, to preach means with authority and clarity as a herald. You know, Philip preached Jesus to the eunuch, Acts 8 and 35. These are worth noting as well. I mean, this preaching the gospel is, it's not a thing that should be forgotten, eh? Acts chapter 8 and 35. And it's just these verses. Then Philip opened, we know about this story, the eunuch. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That was there by Philip. And Paul, as Paul did at Thessalonica in Acts 17 and 3. Acts 17 and verse 3. And we have these instances recorded for our learning and for our noting, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And so these are important scriptures in relation to the preaching of the gospel. And Acts 11 and 20, at Cyprus some from Cyrene preached the Lord Jesus. Acts 11 and 20. And we'll read that one as well. And it says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And so this sure emphasizes the fact that it is a person that we preach. He is the theme of the gospel. Some even preached out of envy. Envy desires to deprive another of what he has. Strife is the expression of enmity. And this was directed at Paul personally. Others of goodwill towards Paul and the cause of the gospel, and how careful we should note, out of contention and rivalry, we can do a right thing with a wrong motive. It was not sincere, and the other of love. So the furtherance of the gospel then, in this chapter that we've considered, verses 12 to 26, the soul of sinners saved, and Christ was preached in verses 12 to 18. The needs of God's servant supplied, and Christ was magnified in verses 19 to 24. And the hands of the saints strengthened, and Christ was glorified, 25 to 26. And the faith of the gospel in verses 27 to 30. Stand fast, conduct behavior as citizens of heaven, as ambassadors for Christ. Strive together, great concord, belief of the truth, what we're saying. Be earnest, be sincere. It's not a flippant message, you know, the gospel. There's nothing flippant about it. And sometimes we get that too. Suffer for his sake. Conflict on behalf of him. A gift from Christ. Life to Paul was only of value if it served the glory of Christ.